You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I've been telling you that I haven't seen Roy this happy around here in the entire time I've known him. Roy's story is like a lot of stories around here where he just kept hanging out with our show, Sticky, early on, just coming out to the remotes when we're doing them at car dealerships, small town, small time America, and eventually we found a fit, and now I thought he was happy because it's the birth of his second child we just learned about this weekend. I thought he was happy. I was told that he hugged Carl, that he's so happy to have executives who care that that he finally feels like, wait a minute, I can actually, because we were all sort of stuck at ESPN in terms of where everyone could be on the diagram. We couldn't get through the culture of Disney and all the sort of ways people are paid and identified, there was no way to move up. So we sort of invented these ridiculous businesses, Moss Miami, where Roy was selling art, T-shirt company. So we just created something that could, outside of Disney, so it wasn't just writing checks, that some more money can be made. And so I thought all of that is what was happening, but it's not.
No,
he hasn't left that there's food now in the other room. Every time I go over there, he's making another sandwich. So why are you happy? Are you happy just because we're now being fed around here after 8 years of hey, don't touch those muffins downstairs. They're for the visitors.
Yeah, it's a combination of things. Food, money, child. Not in that order.
Food, though, is first, right?
Child. Yes.
There are Doritos over there. I put it on the poll, please.
I ate them all.
Please, there are no more. Put it on the poll. Cody, at Le Batard Show, what makes Roy happy? Why is Roy so happy? Doritos?
Yeah.
Second baby. Money. What else? Is there a fourth one in here?
Hockey.
I'm sure my
his sixth hockey team is still in the playoffs. Well,
I would like the top five things that make Roy happy.
Well, can we make fun of this for a second? How many teams does Roy have in hockey?
Can Roy get to five?
It's a little absurd. How is it that all his teams, he's got all these teams and none of them, I mean, just keeps picking up new teams every time one of them gets...
I'm not picking up new teams. All right, the first team was the Blackhawks, and then it was the Sabres, and then the Panthers.
Panthers
ended up in
third?
The
Panthers are third. They're your
no,
local
I'm
team.
I'm going in chronological order.
So these are hockey teams before the Panthers arrived.
Yes.
Kick save and a beaut.
Thank you. Yeah. And then it was the Panthers. And then good friend Jim Vivola works for Vegas.
Jimmy Frey.
There's nothing wrong with being a fan of like seven different teams, Dan. Come on. Like it's 2021. You got to get with the times.
Chris, put it on the poll, please. At Le Batard Show, get with the times. At Le Batard Show, is there anything wrong with being a fan of seven different teams in the sport? But she's sitting here saying, get with the times. And what just happened, by the way, Chris Cody came in here and apologized. Ass Crack came in here and apologized to everybody. Hey, sorry, because we're live on air, and sorry I shouted suck it in the general direction of Whittingham, to which my response, and I just had this conversation with Whittingham, I'm like, I don't think there's any problem with keeping it general on what it is that you're lobbing at someone to suck, especially when you're going at someone whose sexuality is simply
being fancy.
Like he is indiscriminate sexuality. We don't know what he likes other than
being fancy. The proverbial sucking it would not be in keeping with the character. So that bit I don't like. But also,
oh jeez.
I mean, you know, it's not really something that insults me that much. I actually find it quite amusing.
He wasn't bothered by it at all because I'm like, do we need to apologize to you for what Chris Cody just shouted?
Good.
And he's like, I'm just fancy. Like, I don't object.
No, if you describe something I did as uncouth, I would not be having that.
Oh, boy.
Hit it on yourself.
Chris Whittingham is a fancy lad.
I'd like to go down this path, though, because it just broke out in the...
need to go down that path.
In the Dolphins locker room, where Robert Hunt is being dragged yesterday because he's a lineman, a guard, a big, tough man who paints his fingernails. He likes stars and lightning and suns, and he's like, what's the problem? He's looking at everybody like, what's the problem? And it became a thing. Miami has drafted linemen for the last two decades of my life. I've never been able to block anybody. I wish they'd paint somebody as an offensive lineman who could block somebody.
Imagine drafting linemen your entire life, and they're never good at blocking. The offensive line has never been good.
No, Parcells came down here. Watch, I'm going to make you tougher. Parcells, yes, Nick Saban, I'm going to make you tougher. Watch me. I'm going to make so many offensive linemen so kind of tough, and then I'm going to draft them in the first round, and we can't block for shit across two decades. But now Robert Hunt comes in. He's got fancy painted fingernails, and everybody's like, what's that all about? Do you eat faces or not, dude? Like, dude, do you tear people apart with those fingernails? Like, tear their skull apart and urinate and then shit in them? Because that's the guy that I want on my team with his fingernails painted. But what was happening there? Why did this become a thing?
He's probably wearing gloves on the field, by the way, so not even his opponents are going to be able to see those nails.
But what was this? I mean, do I need to tell you that Shaquille O'Neal painted his toenails? Like, do you care? Would you have said anything to him about it?
You got to do something to those things, though.
Yeah, they're awful. They're like two gargoyles at the bottom of his legs. Awful. Can you imagine what an athlete in that sport carrying that weight, what your feet look like? Two gargoyles.
Well, I mean, like Chad Johnson has talked before about how many pedicures he used to get. Like, but ultimately, the reason why this becomes a thing is because football is the ultimate thing where it's a measurement of alpha maleness. Right? So if there's any sign that someone is not a 100% alpha male, then yeah, people are going to have a reaction. It means absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
but people have a reaction to it.
But if he can maul people, I don't think anyone cares, right? I think if he can play, no one in that locker room
No, but
room
the second
cares,
he doesn't maul somebody,
he's in trouble.
It's right. All of a sudden, it becomes yes. About the painting of fingernails when it has next to nothing to do with that.
Right.
I find this space to be fascinating, right? Because you guys sometimes get tired around here of the fascination that I have with Ricky Williams, because he navigated some of this stuff in a way. It was just fascinating to be that close to the fame as it grew up, not prepared to grow up in some realms. And I actually talked him into doing something that ended up being a huge mistake that both he and I thought was simply funny, which is putting him on a wedding dress with Ditka. And we absolutely underestimated I absolutely underestimated how bad that advice was, just going with my friend, what he thought was funny. Yeah, Ricky, that guy looking that way in a wedding dress, not because he's trying to give off Rodman and shocking. It's just funny. He's standing next to Ditka, and they're on, and Ditka's in. And everyone agreed to this? Yes. Okay. It's just funny. No, it's not. No, it's not. We're going to wonder about your sexuality and if you're a weirdo and what's the matter with you. And all he was is an artist in this alpha world, and it didn't fit, and he became a weirdo, and it's just okay to tolerate the weirdo when he's looking for Roy Williams in your secondary because he bullied the team the week before, and he, on a breakaway, is looking for him because he wants to beat him to death with his thighs, and Roy Williams is yelping because here comes all of Austin, and it's hell-bent on destruction. Go ahead and tell him he's gay. Go ahead and question his sexuality or his toughness.
So everybody just looked past the symbolism of that cover shoot, basically. Like, it's a marriage. It was a marriage. They gave up a lot for Ricky Williams for that Saints.
An entire draft, right?
Yeah.
And like, Mike Ditka basically is wedded to Ricky Williams. That's the symbolism behind it, right? Is that he was wedded to Ricky Williams now.
What we were going for, right? This was Rick Tellender and I wrote it. Rick Tellender, Chicago, me, Miami. And being behind the scenes on that one was fascinating because Dave Wannstedt was cruel to Ricky Williams, didn't trust anybody, apologized to him years later, like, I'm so sorry I didn't get you a quarterback. 400 carries. What they're doing to Derrick Henry now in Tennessee, plus.
Did you apologize to Ricky for the idea?
Well, we still laugh about it.
Okay.
It was ultimately good for him, right? I mean, I know I always played this game,
Jesus.
But it was a popular thing. We're still talking about it. How many years later? I'm serious.
I actually think that, and Dan, obviously you're friends with Ricky Williams, and he's an incredible character. But like when you compare now to like what's happening with Naomi Osaka, and just a lot of the things generally where athletes are comfortable sharing of their personalities and comfortable saying, this makes me uncomfortable. That, in some ways, is the trailblazing of Ricky Williams. I feel bad. Even, like, the notion of everyone getting bent out of shape over marijuana use. Like, think about how backwards that is 15 years later to be like, he shouldn't be smoking marijuana. Now it's, like, legal in 20 states. Like it's incredibly anachronistic in a way.
And
what?
I know him to be a super sweet man. To see my friends, rocks and garbage thrown at my friend in that circumstance, when I know him to be a sweet man. And also, before we got to all the mental health stuff where it is now, where you can have a month and talk about it publicly, and Rex Chapman could be out here talking as he does today in one of our hours with uncommon honesty about how sad he was as a player. Sad in Kentucky as a white player dating a black woman, and alums telling him and donors telling him, I'm looking out for you, kid. You shouldn't be dating a black woman in Kentucky. And then seeing everything that happened in Kentucky after that, now Rex Chapman is going after Mitch McConnell at every turn he can, because that's the fight in America now. The idea that mental health back then wasn't where Kevin Love and DeRozan had brought it now, or Osaka or anyone else. It was just throw Paxil at it. Let's make him a sponsor for Paxil. He's got social anxiety. He's doing interviews with his helmet on. The way we solve this is by let's see if the first thing we do, not talking to him about it, not training in the room where they heal things the way they do your ankle. No, shove it down. Don't talk about it. And don't do weed. Don't do weed. Do Paxil.
Right.
Don't do weed. Don't smoke weed for whatever the pain relief is for your depression. Like Rex Chapman talked about Stugatz. It was just from bed to court to golf course to gambling. And so he wouldn't have to look at his life.
Right. That's the big suey today, by the way. The sales staff was happy about Ricky. I mean, they got a deal out of it. That's what you're saying, because you're right. That's what they do back then, and now it's changed for the better. Thankfully, it has.
Would he come in here for a second? I'd like to talk to Ricky, so I'm going to see if you could get him in contact with him, because I'd like to talk about that stuff, the sexuality stuff that we're talking about, that Robert Hunt is looking at everybody. And I do think this is part. I don't even think this is generational or cultural. I should say, I don't think that this is necessarily cultural. I do think today's young people are just simply less repressed in every single way. And so I actually think that whoever's arguing about this isn't people who are young. Whoever's arguing about what is Robert Hunt doing painting his fingernails, there's a whole generation of people who are like, that's not weird. It doesn't have to be alpha male. It's okay for all of us to enjoy personalities in sports that aren't scrubbed and all, you know, man-eating monsters who will chew you to death. Some of them like to paint stars on their fingernails.
All the coolest musical artists right now, Machine Gun Kelly, they're all doing it.
So why was it a thing? Like, who was it a thing among? Who were the people arguing about this yesterday, wondering about, like, they don't know anything about Robert Hunt except for, in some instances, he's a football player who is painting his nails. Someone explain to me, because who's arguing about this then?
For me,
heterosexual sports fans and heterosexual people in general who, like, will jump on anything to become homophobic, Dan. I think that, like, sports fandom and especially sports media is still a really male, heterosexual space, and very white also, I should add.
And that's what's happening here at the fringes of the political and racial stuff happening in this country, that the last group to thaw is this place where we're allowed to look at sports and not our lives and just cheer through the emotion. And anytime you bring any of the serious stuff around here, because that's what Rex Chapman is doing. You should listen to it on Big Suey, because I thought it was super vulnerable, super interesting. He's getting into the tent by saying, hey, look at these funny videos of somebody's rocking chair went on a cat's tail and the cat ended up on someone's head. Here's a million views. And then anytime anyone looks up, he's putting in political opinions, going after Mitch McConnell with the platform that he is dug out of, you know, near homelessness as he had an opioid crisis in his life.
But I'm surprised, even in 2021, Dan, that you're surprised that Robert Hunt is going through some of this, especially given the sport that he plays in that kind of locker room and that kind of environment. Like, stuff like that is still going to happen. I mean,
all right, so we've got Ricky now. And Ricky, thank you for making the time. I was just talking about how you we were talking about Robert Hunt, an offensive lineman for the Miami Dolphins, and he likes to paint his fingernails stars and lightning bolts and sunshine. And it got me to thinking about you being an artist in the alpha world of pro football. And so I asked them to call you about Robert Hunt. So thank you for making the time for us. What do you have for me on this subject?
Well, I mean, specifically, what's the question? I mean, I think when you use the term artist, I think what I had to learn to do was be an artist in dealing with being in that environment. Because if you separate the two, then you have to be uncomfortable all the time. And so to me, the real creativity or the art is how to integrate in this art of how to be yourself in any kind of environment. And there's a way to do it. You just got to be open to making the effort.
But you were too young to do it, right? I mean, the intoxicants of fame, I mean, that's really hard ask of a young 20-year-old who's just arrived at his dreams, no?
Well, that was 20-something years ago. I think now that we're even having these conversations, there's more opportunities for it to occur. It's not like, you know, football players are bad. You know, it's not like, it's just that we're just stuck in a certain environment that's kind of stuck in the past. But as society progresses, you know, as football, as the NFL progresses, I mean, there's a message that went out the other day that the NFL is, you know, paying $1 million in grants for cannabis research, you know, so things are moving and things are progressing. And I think having these kinds of conversations, it normalizes it, makes it okay. And so we're helping the artist integrate, because as a culture, we're integrating the artist. And I think you know from, you know, seeing the experiences with your brother and just an artist trying to exist in the world.
They just threw Paxil at you 15 years ago, right? Like that, there was no, we didn't really know how to deal with it, did we?
Well, when we say we, I think that we have to put the onus on ourselves, because for me, like, I'm not going to demonize Paxil, because Paxil was one of the steps on my path to health. And I think it's great that we're talking about mental health, but I don't think we should stop there, because to me, you can't be mentally healthy unless you're spiritually healthy, because it's like mental health for what? And, you know, I found is what started with Paxil, you know, led me to cannabis, led me to yoga, and led me to, you know, a life that works better for me.
Led you to meditation, led you to quieting your mind. Is there a way, though, to put us back in your early 20s as you're navigating this stuff and you don't know whether you're depressed? You don't know. Well, you do know you're weird, and others keep telling you you're weird, and now you're wearing a helmet during your interviews because...
Well, exactly. But this is what I'm saying. This was a time, like, in the past, people weren't having these conversations. If people were having these conversations, I would have been a hero back. I mean, if that was going on, like, right now, I'd be a hero. I'd be a hero. I'd have, you know, I'd have apps paying my fines.
You're right. You would.
Well, he had plenty. Wait a minute. But yeah, you laugh, but wait a minute. Well, hold on. You laugh, but yes, you'd have apps paying your fines, but they came around offering you, Gillette did, $1 million to shave your dreadlocks, and you said, nah. Like, it isn't like it didn't pay to be you too.
But that's paying to sell out. It's different paying to be yourself. You know, I might have cannabis companies come in to pay my fines. You know, it's a different world where you can be yourself, and there's jobs you can have, and there's, you know, institutions that will support you. It's, So it's a different time.
Ricky, do you have any modicum of pride about perhaps changing the conversation in the slightest of ways towards a positive direction that we now are?
Of course. I mean, to me, that's the only way that I can, like, you know, feel good about myself. Because, you know, sometimes it was very difficult, but I kept telling myself that there's a reason that I'm going through all of this. And so to see that things are changing, yeah, it feels really good.
Ricky, what's wrong with selling out?
What's wrong with it? I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Well, thank you.
I think personally for me, it's just, you know, I can't look in the mirror when I do something where I feel like I sell out. And so it's just my personal conscience. But for other people, I don't even mean to give it a negative connotation. If it works for you, go for it, you know?
Yeah, it has. Thank you.
It has, and there seems to be some skepticism here in the other room. Oh, and I'm sorry to do this to you, Ricky. It seems like there's some unruliness back there. I don't know who has opened the cage, but I'm sorry.
Yo, chicken thigh.
I feel like
what are you talking about? How did you say that? What is going on here?
Wait a minute, put them back in there. Hold on, hold on. I know no one controls the chickens, but I thought the chickens were coming after Ricky,
that's
not Stugatz.
Right.
I thought they were coming after Ricky. Were they coming after Stugatz? The chickens were out of control here. Let the chickens back out and have them come after Ricky. They're trained chickens and they're furious.
Never imagine.
I still want to go after Stugatz. I don't care. Ricky, how dare you? What's wrong with you?
All right, everybody get out of here.
You can't control us.
I love my chickens.
You're right.
You can look in the mirror.
That's right. Okay, I'm sorry. Put everyone back. Ricky, we were talking about, I didn't want to articulate this for you. I was looking at it through my perspective. But as we were talking about the fingernails, one of the things that I underestimated, giving you what I now have admitted is bad advice, but naive advice, I didn't think the wedding dress would be seen as anything other than funny and your sense of humor. Like, looking back on it, I have great regret about putting you in a position that I think I've got it right when I say you and I just thought it would be funny.
Yeah, we did think it would be funny. But again, I think the role that you claim to play is the one that, like, looks out for me so that I can be myself. And, you know, I was like, I thought it was funny. And even, you know, during the photo shoot, it was funny. And it was funny until I got off the plane in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and all the media.
I feel so bad. It's so bad. He knows how mortified I am. I think he knows. Oh, it's just awful. I feel so bad. I do. Laugh in my face. Okay. Yes.
You deserve it, man.
Of course I do. But I didn't. Shit. It's mortifying to me. But all right. Describe it. You get off the plane.
What happened,
you're not
Ricky?
Wearing the wedding dress. And now what?
Well, it just hit me with the look on the media, like the reporters' faces when they had the magazine in their hand, and they were like, "Why would you do this?"
Because it's funny. Never mind. All right, Ricky.
Don't try to justify it.
Yeah, I can't. No, I'm just ashamed. Ricky, we will talk to you later. Thank you for coming by, buddy.
Yeah, of course.
See you, Ricky.
He really is one of my favorites. I have learned a lot from him over the years.
And in exchange for that, you gave him terrible advice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginners or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. And now with Peloton Entertainment, you can keep moving and watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. And if you don't have a bike, take a dance class, take a core class, take Pilates, take a stretching class, start a program with Andy, do a core program with Emma. You can do it all at Peloton. You can get a Peloton row, and you're not even going to get wet because it's inside your own house without water. How'd they do it? I don't know. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike rentals. Terms apply.
Did you guys see? It should the athlete relationship should work like this. Noah Syndergaard was, through his agent, selling the book of All the Colors Came Out, Kate Fagg and our friend. Hopefully you guys will buy this book too, because the story is what she learned in sports, what she learned outside of sports, and it's life and death, and it's about relationships. And I've learned some of those things with Ricky and through Ricky, and hope to one day be able to tell that full story, all of it, and hopefully you guys will get to know him better, because he was wronged in all of this. He was ahead of his time. Like, Sagatz, I remember being in at the Heisman Trophy ceremony back during then, thinking, this dude could be Ali. Like, he's got the things to be the modern day leader of stuff like that. I didn't know it was mental illness or any of this stuff, or weed or any of it, right? Like, it's not quite the same thing. But if he's right when he says, if I had grown up in this age.
Oh, man. What an impact he would have made, right?
Yeah. And so I get I have legitimate remorse thinking that funny wedding dress, Paxil, weird helmet on, that all of it wouldn't be crushing, that he had the wherewithal. I only learned later through my relationship with John Amici. Who didn't have the strength to be gay in public.
That guy.
Because that guy.
Yes.
That guy. Like, I thought he was going to be, I really did, sort of a Jackie Robinson people, uniquely qualified, Jackie Robinson type of figure in basketball, uniquely qualified to carry the gay pride flag. And that guy, because of what this environment is that eats up fingernail painter, that guy didn't have the strength to do it. And I really did think Ricky was uniquely equipped from that point. I still think he can do it. He's got life coach wisdoms, man. You could learn a lot. That dude has been all over the world crawling through shit to get to learning, and now has had a baby and sees that this is all that matters in life. Just recently, like a week ago, this is
right.
My life can now be distilled. I've traveled the globe. The place where I will find God, the most important thing, is in loving that child, having a loving relationship that loves that child.
And he was a superstar, Ricky was, in his sport. Amici was not. But knowing Meech the way I do now, I am shocked that he was not strong enough to carry that torch. Like, I really
it's
am.
It's not. It, I know. No, but Stugatz.
But he's such a strong individual.
But not strong enough.
I know.
Is the point. Yeah. Is the point. If that dude.
Right.
Who the hell is going to be a pioneer there if that dude? I thought he was uniquely qualified. I thought it was my calling in this sphere. I don't know, early 30s. You know the stories. Right around the corner here at Twist, he was trying to tell me for years that he was gay. He took me to a gay nightclub. I did not know he was gay. I thought maybe basketball player. It's the only place he could get peace in Miami. Famous basketball player. Tall guy who stands out everywhere he's walking. I did not know. He was trying to tell me. He's got queer folk on the DVR. He's got rainbow flags in his bathroom. He was trying to tell me. I did not know. I've got no gaydar.
The gay bar didn't do it, though?
No, I mean, none of it did.
You guys went there. You met there. You had conversation. Did you walked out of the gay bar. You still didn't think he
know.
Was gay.
Did oh, not wow. know. Swear to God. Did not know. And had a conversation with him at the arena, sitting on benches, where he's asking me, hey, do you think gay people choose this life? Or are born this way? And my response, knowing nothing about nothing, was, and coming in Latin history from all sorts of homophobia that gets passed down through generations, my response was, well, you choose it. And his response was, why the hell would anyone choose that? So that they can go. And one of the reasons he was helping gay kids so much, I still didn't see it here, is because one of them needed someone in desperation, and he wasn't available because he was at a Utah Jazz game, or he was at a game, and that child hung himself, and he didn't get there in time.
Right.
And so he taught me all sorts of things about this, and I thought he was going to be the first gay athlete in that sport to play in that sport. And uncommonly strong, and among the smartest people I've ever met in any realm of anything. And not strong enough. Like, to me, that was hugely, hugely interesting to see it from that vantage point.
And in some ways, that strength is still not enough, right? Because there's still, I mean, there have been gay athletes, like in soccer, Robbie Rogers was openly gay. But even still, there was a recent incident in soccer where a player for San Diego Loyal was given some homophobic treatment. And it's still really hard. It's still a barrier that like a top-level athlete has not yet really broken. And it's kind of remarkable that in 2021, we have in men's sports, obviously we should say that as a caveat, but in men's sports, like we're still not there yet. It's still really hard.
But look at what Skipper was trying to do from inside of ESPN. Caitlyn Jenner, you will host the ESPYs. That's right there where that's where ESPN became a political organization.
She got an award, right? It was like the Arthur Ashe Award for courage.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that spot right there. I think Skipper sat next to her at the ceremony. Like that from there, and also televised kiss Michael Sam. How about you pay attention to male team sports have gone right into the gutter since that moment? Like we say, rah, rah, but that conservative sport, you just saw what they did to Kaepernick. Not welcome there. Not welcome there. You saw what happened to Michael Sam. Not good enough, whatever the reasons. He kissed another man on television. Okay, see you later. Don't know what's going to happen to your life from
and
here.
People,
but that was too aggressive. That was too aggressively gay. Too aggressively gay to be in this environment because his agents were sort of selling. They were selling like this is the guy to do this, and they were being very charismatic. I don't even want to use loaded language here, but they were being a little bit flip about what it is that they were entering, thinking perhaps that the rest of the country was more ready for this, the rest of entertainment more ready for this than football absolutely was.
But in general, don't you think sports, and in particular that sport, they're going to be the last to progress, aren't they? I mean,
Stugatz, I thought we were there with a man kissing another man on television during the draft, and everyone told me we were there. Everyone told me, Dan, no, you're talking about an antiquated locker room from 20 years ago. It's not that anymore. But I saw what happened yesterday when this one dude, a guard you guys don't actually care about, painted his fingernails.
And like the flippant nature of that, I think probably like what happened to Michael Sam is in some ways instructive as to why you wouldn't do that if you're gay in the NFL, because it didn't work out for him.
I wouldn't do it right now. Like, if I were gay right now in the NFL, I would not say Michael Sam, there's my leader pioneer. No, he got torched the way Kaepernick did. It ended up in the gutter.
And John Amici has told stories, I believe, in a piece that you've written about him about what he experienced on the bus, where like going past pride signs or like hearing the way that his teammates talked about being gay. And I imagine John Amici feared what ultimately Michael Sam went through. And so the fact that we're not there yet in male team sports is kind of insane.
Can you come and grab this phone from me again and see if you call Meech here? And I know he's very busy, but I would like to talk to him about some of this stuff because I think it's worth exploring these topics. And I know that we're on live television now.
Little game of grabbing the phone
on
your
team. Is that it? Is that what we're doing? A little game of grabbing the phone. So reach out to Meech however it is that you would so that we can get him on here, please.
Dan, I wonder how much responsibility you think we have as members of the media to recognize our blind spots and talking about this conversation. And I think that like this show in particular tends to be on the more understanding and open-minded side, but there are still blind spots that we have and that I think we are trying to address now that we have Meadowlark and we're going to be hiring and aiming to diversify the workplace. And I think that's kind of Meadowlark maybe is a little bit of an exception to a lot of the places that I've worked in the past and a lot of mainstream media that does not care about those things and that has a massive blind spot when they cover topics like that. And then how that is reflected back into society and the people consuming that culture.
It can't be lost on you if you're paying attention to this world, right? That when Spotify decided to get into this space, the place they ended up was Rogan and Simmons. And I don't mean this as an indictment of either of them, too. They are great at what they do and their followings are impressive. But when 2020s streets filled with black people, you saw how it was being talked about in those spaces. Barstool, similarly. It's just what their experience is. Their experience surrounds them with people who look like them and sound like them. And it's part of what America is learning throughout corporations. Hey, we have to fix this. We have to get other voices in the room. And we are attempting to do that over here on our side of what it is that we're creating, trying to empower a bunch of different voices, the way Skipper tried to at ESPN. And so what I was telling you about Noah Syndergaard, I don't know how that happened. Maybe it's just because Noah Syndergaard's agent is someone who is thoughtful, and Noah Syndergaard is thoughtful, and the book is excellent by Kate Fagan. We promoted it for you a number of different ways because to help Kate, But the book is simply excellent. It's a love letter to her father. She's an exceptional writer. She went to hell and back with her father for this ALS challenge. And Noah Syndergaard is on. Did you see this tweet, Stugatz? Because this is modern day product placement, brand and athletes and writers having their own media. Noah Syndergaard seems to be on a windowsill reading a book in a Book of the Month club and enhancing his brand. You don't know that much about Noah Syndergaard. You know he's maybe the best pitcher you've ever seen.
I know he's Thor. Yeah, and he's always hurt. Yeah, that's about it.
And he's on a windowsill.
DeGrom is the greatest pitcher I've ever seen.
Okay, yes. Those are your three the three moves. Yeah. The DeGrominator.
Well, no one would say I was helping you out there because no one would say Thor is the greatest pitcher they've ever seen. They would say that about Jacob DeGrom. So I feel like you got your Met pitchers mixed up a little bit. That's
okay.
All.
Thank you. Well, thank you for the help. Yes, I did. I did. Thank you. I'm sorry. Live television. It happens. Thank you for trying to help me. It doesn't help at this point. Not because you're you, but because I'm old.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
On that windowsill, Jacob DeGrom is reading Kate's book. And I hope that that makes a whole lot of people buy it, because Kate represents somebody who badly needs to be heard in this sphere. Her voice is something that people need to hear from, because she's got a unique perspective. As Stugatz, WNBA ratings are up all over the place. They are the women were ahead of the men. The women were ahead of the men at the social instigation. Renee Montgomery, who is hanging around the show now, went from player to left for a year to became owner of that team, blowing out that vile woman at the head of that team in that city. Like, these are the leaders who are coming for the next chunk of pie in this media space. That's one of the many reasons I'm thrilled to have Renee Montgomery doing anything with us, because WNBA ratings are up. This is something that is getting more popular. Their stories are interesting, and we are heading to something that feels a little more like equality, that to me is hugely exciting, covering it from this free space where, Stugatz, I am fascinated by this. How's it going to get covered when Space Jam needs the numbers in China? How's it going to get covered when LeBron needs to go over there on a marketing tour because China needs to buy this, and he needs to not talk about China? He's talking about a lot of equality for a whole lot of people. How about people there where you're in business? That's where the conflict is going to meet him.
Of course, it's already met him there, right?
Oh, it's been too quiet.
Yes.
It's been too quiet. Like, he doesn't have to stand for every goddamn thing. He can sit this one out. But since he stepped in it, world's most powerful athlete gets to just back away from this fire. And not now anymore. No, you're going to head to China. And you could be all things to all people if you want to be. Or you could do Michael Jordan's version in 2021 of the Chinese buy sneakers too. Like, do you want to be for human rights or no? Or just for your people's human rights, which is a worthy enough cause. I'm not even taking anything away from him. Like, but there is another step here on the leadership, and your sport and you bowed before the human rights stuff.
Right. And that was, for me at least, very disappointing as someone who prides himself on being a modern-day Ali, that he didn't do it.
Well, but you
he
sell out at every single turn, so
yeah,
you're
but
not...
that's me. I'm not LeBron.
I know, I mean, understand, but a lot of people demand perfection from him. I do not, okay? But I would have liked to have heard from him on this. I would have liked to hear him informed on being... Do you want to be a mogul?
Do you want to hide in the shadows where all the other owners get to hide? Or do you want to be a mogul who can accurately express his opinion because he's informed and can navigate the space between sports and business because he's that powerful? Because he doesn't have to bow to China, Michael Jordan, anybody in his sport, he's that strong now. Do you want to make cartoons or do you want to fight?
Well, I think he wants to be a mogul, which is precisely why he backed off or really had a go at Daryl Morey. Like, the quotes were, like, he needs to educate himself. He needs to not put any of us in peril because, I mean, look, Daryl Morey's comments did hurt the Houston Rockets while they were in China. Like, James Harden had business interests there. Like, there was a Daryl Morey's comments did have a deleterious effect on the people in the NBA, but that's precisely the point.
What effect?
Deleterious. Put it on the poll, Chris Cody. Have you ever used the phrase deleterious at Le Batard Show?
Chris Whittingham is a fancy lad.
Where do you store all these words?
Exactly.
Like, where are they?
Keep it simple, man. I mean, what's the matter with you?
This is where it gets separated from Ali. Ali told you a lot of years ago in the middle of the civil rights movement that he was for everybody because he didn't have no quarrel with no Viet Cong. That's, you want to be Ali? Do you want to make cartoons or do you want to be Ali? And I get it. I get it if he just wants to fight for his people. That's totally cool. Like, that's a worthy enough cause.
But he's made that decision. He wants to make cartoons, Dan.
Okay, but let's see. Let's see what he grows into as an owner. We've seen, look, Stugatz, these guys grew into this. They, with Trayvon Martin, they were the ones wearing the hoodies. They found their voice on our watch.
I know.
Like, Wade and LeBron, let's see what they do with the ownership and the power. I'm not willing to say you sold out over here and do the knee jerks that you're doing on these guys. No. I'd like to see what he builds over the next 10 years with all of the power and with all of the conflicts that come with being in power.
I'm interested as well. I'm just saying he had an opportunity to do what Ali did, and he passed up on that opportunity, and now he's making cartoons.
Stugatz.
That's what
I'm
saying.
And from every...
Maybe it will change, but right now he's chosen cartoons.
From every angle, you can find all of the places to criticize LeBron James.
I'm not criticizing it.
You can't say you're not criticizing. You say he sat that one out to do cartoons. That's a criticism.
But I'm saying, Dan, can you recover from that? Like, now he's gonna tackle that issue when he had an opportunity to tackle that issue and support Daryl Morey and instead went after him?
With you will have forever written him off, and there's nothing he can do from here to be Ali. I'm willing to withhold judgment to see what he does with the next 10 years and real power now.
Okay.
The power he's trying to accrue as a conqueror, as a guy who's trying to beat, like, he's doing things. He's already doing many things. Stugatz, he's always empowered his friends. He has done so much for the black community. You could sit here and say, do more about anything that anyone is doing. You could criticize any human being who's doing anything and say, that's not enough. Mother Teresa, I'm sure some people had a problem with her.
I'm not asking him to do more. I'm asking him to do it for everyone who needs it.
Okay, that's more, Stugatz. That's more than he's doing now. That's more. You're asking for more, and better is not good enough. And fine, you can make that the standard for him. I'm willing to see what he's going to do with the next 15 years. I was disappointed. Stugatz, I'm an exile. Everything we just did is about freedom. Like, I didn't have it, and so we wiggled free. Like, I didn't have it at the end, so we wiggled free. Like, all that matters to me is right there. I saw during the China stuff. I witnessed it. Oh, these aren't people who have actually had to flee oppression. These are people fighting for freedom. On the China LeBron subject, when I saw James Harden doing China's bidding for Fertitta in Houston, they brought him out like a sock puppet with a beard. Go out there and say you like China. It's enough. And then run back into the shadows. You know how offensive it was to me to see everyone sitting out China when we're talking about human rights shit for everybody? Offensive. And LeBron sat it out, and it was infuriating. Infuriating. Like, just bile spitting infuriating. And now you know why I was gone for 6 weeks instead of three.
And also, I mean, like, James Harden is not just protecting Fertitta there. He's protecting himself. Like, everyone has massive amounts of money to be made.
They chose themselves, Chris.
Of course.
It's the least shocking thing I've ever heard.
But also, like, we're underestimating the power here. Like, Jess correctly put in the chat, a couple of weeks ago, John Cena got hit with this. He merely said, Taiwan is a country, and had to on his social media channels put out a video, a minute and 10 seconds, apologizing for that, presumably because his movie studio needs to be able to sell movies. Like, the power here is incredible. But I think what a lot of people are asking for from LeBron is two things. One, consistency, and two, meet that power with your power. And it might just be too much to ask, but it is an extraordinary amount of power that China has here.
Consistency. Human beings are not consistent. It'd be nice if morally all of us were along one path all the time in the spirit of being pure. Human beings, not consistent. I would like LeBron to be stronger here. I understand why he's not. I'd like honesty. Hey, can't do it. All the Fortune 500 companies are in bed with Chinese businesses. This is super hard. Can't do it. Gotta sit it out. Sorry. Gotta sit it out. It's not because I'm against human rights. It's because I'm at the center of a business conflict. But that's not what you're getting. You got everyone retreated into the shadows on this, and it just became a non-issue in this sport that was doing social justice, but was doing it for the employees and the race of that sport, not for what was happening in China.
But the optics were kind of bad, where you have Daryl Morey, who was unwilling to sit it out, who wanted to jump into that.
He got in, and then he got out, and has never spoken of it since.
Well, that's true, but Stugatz, he did get in, Dan.
Stugatz, trust me on this one subject, okay? Maybe none of the others. On this one subject,
right.
I've been watching all of the pieces closely, and nobody has gotten my actual opinions on what it is that happened here. All of it. Because it's complicated. I saw a bunch of people in America who had been gifted freedom, not having fled to get it. And a bunch of people in America sitting that one out quietly because, well, it's over there. It's not our thing. And as someone who values freedom, 90 miles off our shore, literally throwing your lives to the wind in vessels made of tires because you're trying to get away with desperation. Like, that was the centerpiece of what was happening there, and LeBron had to sit it out because he doesn't have the power to go against everybody in business. Because it's not just the NBA's business that's over there. It's everyone he's doing business with. And so you want him to have that strength? So do I. That'd be great. That'd be great. But Ali lost, like, years of his prime not having a quarrel with any Viet Cong. Like, that's the price. That's why we buried Ali at the end with such reverence. That's why he's the original gangster. He's doing better than anyone with Bill Russell and Jim Brown. At the height of the civil rights movement, he was still yelling at the end, shaking. Jim Brown telling you, you guys didn't make Muhammad Ali's most beloved athlete until he lost the ability to speak. When he spoke, he was America's most hated athlete, but he had the strength to endure it. Made him shake at the end, but he had the strength to endure it. Not everyone does. It's why he's Ali. No one does. No one does. Not even LeBron. Not even Amici. These immense, not Ricky. Not these monsters of human giants, physical giants, strong, smart giants. That's why he gets to be Ali forever. Maybe LeBron wants that fight the next 15 years. He just learned in adulthood how to enter the Trayvon Martin fight. Maybe he's got the stomach for more.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.